Dynasty Radio 1382.
Understand you by and by. Take nothing less than the suffering best. Do not obey, no mistake, but you can pass the test. Just move on up to a greater day. With just a little of faith, if you put your mind to it, you can surely do it.
Hello, family. This is Paula Massey with the Education of the Miseducated System. I'm glad to be back. Today is Tuesday, February 3rd, the third day into Black History Month, and I'm glad to be here because I am Black History. You're listening to Dynasty Radio 1382, the revolutionary radio for revolutionary people. This is a live call-in talk show, and if you'd like to speak with me, dial 646-716-7572. Press the number one, and we'll put you in queue. All right. I haven't been here for about a month. A lot of things have been happening in my world, and I just want to share some things with you. My STEP team group, which I talked to you about, a group of young ladies in our community, young teenagers, we perform at the Martin Luther King Day celebration, and they tore it up. Had a few other people there, young people in the community, and I think it's very important of all the talent that we have in our communities, that we get our young people involved in what's going on. There's so many times, you know, as older people, we are putting things together and we're using the same older people. We need to use some of our young talent. I had a young lady there singing, Change is Gonna Come. Wow. And then we had the video behind her. And then, of course, you know, with the MLK Day, they're always going to do the Star Spangled Banner. So instead of getting this one Hispanic girl who always performs it or her brother, I said, I got a sister here that can perform it. And I'm giving my props out to Rebecca Burns. She tore it up a cappella. It was amazing. And Rebecca McGee, she sung A Change is Gonna Come. So I want to give my props out to all of my young people in the STEP team who performed, those who did the reading of the Martin Luther King reading. Did a history on her. That was Ciara DeShazia. These are my young people that I work with in Genius School and also in the community. So I just wanted to give a shout out to our young sisters and even our young brothers who are working with us in the Black Student Union at the Hanford West High School. I do have a sad report, and I don't know too much about it, but over the weekend, I got a call that one of my students from the Black Student Union, he went to L.A., was getting ready to move to L.A., and he hadn't been in Los Angeles, that's Los Angeles, for 24 hours before he was murdered. So we're dealing with that right now. He was the treasurer of our Black Student Union, and my heart and thoughts go out to his family. That's Khalees Harris and his family. I'm just, you know, sharing some things with you that's been going on. Right now we're getting ready for our Real Life Youth Conference. It's going to be amazing. We usually do it in October, but we're doing it in February here in the city of Hanford, California. I'm excited about that. And then following that week, we're doing a red and white dinner dance to support our youth programs that we're doing in the community. Okay, that's enough of what I'm doing. So, like I said, this is a live call-in talk show, and I want to talk to you today, see what's been on your mind, what's your thoughts, what you've been thinking about, what you've been contemplating as far as your children's education. There's a lot of things that have been going on in the news. We know that our President of the United States, Mr. Barack Obama, he's put out an initiative where he did the State of the Family, State of the Union address. I'm sorry, I was going to say State of the Black Family, but it wasn't. It was a State of the Union address. And one of the things that he spoke about, I'm feeling this was called America's College Promise Proposal. And it's talking about a tuition-free community college for responsible students. Now, upon reading this proposal, I hear all through this that for responsible students, for what is a responsible student? Okay, because, you know, you can see this, and it sounds good, free junior college for everybody. He wants to do free junior college, and that's what we hear from the media. Free junior college, free junior college. But when you go into the facts and you go to ed.gov, which I go when I hear these things, I go there, and I want to find out what actually is being done, what is being said, what is his proposal, anybody's proposal. And so that's what I wanted to talk about. So when I looked at this, it kept talking about, you know, where we're not at in the workforce world as far as the United States, where we used to be at the turn of the last century, the 20th century, and where we were on top academically, where our high schools at one point in the 1800s were not free, but now they become free, and they became free. We were there. A lot of other countries took on that that idea of free high school. And I remember years ago talking to a young lady. She was a foreign exchange student here in the United States. She was from Sweden, and she was a biracial young lady, and she came to the United States to go to school for 1 year of high school here. And when she got here, she said it was so boring. I mean, the things that where she was in Sweden was so far past what we were doing in our high school. Her high school, the last 2 years of her high school, basically was training her to work for a skill, for a job. She was studying to be an airplane mechanic. But here in the United States, we have to go to college, and we have to pay all this money to become that. But that was their schooling, and that was free. So I'm hoping that President Obama is talking about something like that. And I'm hoping that we can go back to when we had these classes in our schools where our children learned metal work. We learned to be electricians. My brother was learning about electricity and all those things, working with circuits and stuff, while he was in high school. And then when he got out of high school, he went to the Air Force. When he got out of the Air Force, he went to work for one of the electric companies in Jacksonville, Florida. And he was working on the power poles because he had that training while he was in high school. So when I looked at this here, I'm looking at the fact that they were talking about for responsible students. So I began reading this fact sheet. And I'm going to go over some of the things with you here. And when it says responsible students, I'll read this. America's College Promise proposal would create a new partnership with states to help them waive tuition and higher quality programs for responsible students while promoting key reforms to help more students complete at least 2 years of college. Restructuring the community college experience coupled with free tuition can lead to gains in student enrollment, persistent and completion transfer, and employment. Specifically, here is what the initiative will mean. This is what it will mean. It says, enhancing students' responsibility and cutting the cost of college for all Americans. Students who attend at least half-time maintain a 2.5 GPA while in college and make steady progress toward completing their program will have their tuition eliminated. These students will be able to earn half of the academic credit they need for a 4-year degree or earn a certificate or a 2-year degree to prepare them for a good job. So basically that's what it's talking about as, a responsible student. Okay. So this is something they're talking about maybe by the year 2016, 2017, that this would be something that will be a part of it. One of the things they're pushing the STEM program, so the science, technology, those are the things that they're pushing. So we want to continue to get students enrolled in those programs. But my main thing is finding out who our children are and what it is that they love to do and gear them in that way that they will go. One of the things that they talked about in this initiative, and I'm going to just talk a little bit about that, there's a model that President Obama, he sees out there. And this is one thing that I noticed about him. He looks out in the country, or he has his staff look out in the country to find out what is working. Just like he did with the Harlem Children's Zone in Harlem, New York, he saw that program, which they have a baby college, and it goes all the way up from pregnant moms all the way up to making sure that these your students will go to college. He looked at that model with pioneered by Jeffrey Canada, and he proposed the zone schools. And I remember talking to you about there's like 11 or 13 school districts in the United States that money was going to do these school zones called Promise Zones. And one of the schools in, I think it was South or North Carolina, decided, well, you know, they're not going to wait on the money. They decided to do it themselves, and it's working. Sometimes we don't need to wait on the money. We need to have what we're doing. Parents need to get involved with the school districts and find out, this is what we want. This is your school. This is your tax dollars. And you need to find out what it is that they're doing so you can do what you need to do as a parent. Okay, look at this. One of the models that President Obama is looking at the Tennessee Tech Centers. So I went online and I'm looking at the Tennessee Tech Centers. So the Tennessee Tech Centers are basically schools that they take the students in and they look at what the students want to do. They take them around to different job sites and they work partner with the employers in the community. And they figure that how could a student know what they want to do if they never see what it is that they want to do? They might have a mindset that, oh, I want to be a technician, I want to be an electrician, I want to be an auto mechanic, I want to own this. But if they never see it, they won't know what to do. They won't know what it is that they want to do because they've never seen the end result of what they're going to school for. So they take these students around and they partner with a bunch of the community employers, and they come back to the school and they enroll the student in. And whatever it is that these students want to do, that is how they base their curriculum on what it is that these children want to do. And that's basically the same way when we're homeschooling our children. We need to find out what it is that our children are involved in, what are they interested in, and build that curriculum around that student. That way you won't have any downtime, you won't have any wasteful time. You don't have any children that are bored, upset, fidgety, that are not interested. Now, I'm not saying that your children are going to be happy all day long when you're homeschooling them, but you want to have most of that time to be happy time. There's some things that you're going to have to work with, math facts. You're going to have to work with your language arts, being able to read and write. I know that public schools have done away with penmanship as far as cursive writing. But that's something that you want to keep going in your school, okay? You want to keep that going in your home school. You want to have that part of that curriculum. I think it's very important that our children learn how to do those skills, learn how to write cursive, learn how to print. There's so many things that if you see a forms and you have children fill out the forms, I say, okay, fill out the sign-in sheet. Print your name and sign your name. And so they'll print both because they don't know what the sign their name is. And a lot of times they'll just print their first name. And, you know, I usually get upset about that. Why are they printing their first name? Don't they have a last name? But, you know, in reality, that's not their name. That was a name that was given to them. But anyway, that's another subject. But our students do not know how to complete forms. They don't know what a signature is, or if they know what a signature is, if you look at their handwriting, and they're doing their cursive writing, they look like they're writing like a third grader, barely learning how to put their letters together. So that's something that we really, really need to look at. So back to Tennessee Tech Center. These are some of the things that President Obama is looking at, the model that he's looking at. You can go online to look that up. It's called Tennessee Technology Centers. Okay. So you want to look that up and find out more about that, okay? So this is some of the things that President Obama wants to do. He wants to increase the Pell Grant Award to help working middle-class families And that's something that we normally get. He was including a $1,000 increase to that. A $2,500 American Opportunity Tax Credit. So basically, this is something he wants to do. He wants to be able to cut out the fact that our students are going to school and having to get all these loans and having to pay all this money back. And then when they get out of school, they can't find the job that they went to school for. Now they got to return, go back home, working in McDonald's, Walmart, just to pay back the student loans because they cannot find a job in the field that they're in. We need to look closely at what we're doing with our students and our children to make sure that when they're going to school, if we're going to send them to college, that there is whatever they want to do, that there's a market for that. Or they need to be able to create a market in their community for it, okay? Okay, I'm going to move right along on that. And if you have any questions, feel free to call in. You know, like I said, this is a live call-in talk show. I'd love to hear from you. You know, I thank you all for posting to the village and also to the education of the miseducated system. I'm enjoying the information that you're sending me. Somebody posted here a picture of Dr. Carter G. Woodson. He wrote The Miseducated or The Miseducation of the Negro back in 1933. And this is a nice little picture of him and a little saying says, remember what you do for yourself is based upon what you think about yourself. Let's repeat that. Remember, what you do for yourself is based upon what you think about yourself. And then he wrote this, and this is a quote from his book. Blacks are the only group of people who take their most precious possession, their children, and ask their oppressors to educate them and to mold and shape their minds. Wow. And basically that's what we've been taught to do with integration of our school, eliminating the segregation. Some say it was good, some say it's not good. You know, everybody has their own thoughts about it. But if you go to your school, I'm not sure what city you're in, but I know in the city that I'm in, there's not many black teachers, not many at all. And if we're going to teach our children anything, sometimes we can't rely on the teachers to teach our children anything. We have to rely on ourselves. And that takes me to Chicago. That takes me to Chicago. Someone had posted a video of Howard Middle School. This is a middle school that is on Howard University campus. Okay. And they said that three teachers were escorted by the police out of their classrooms after they gave 2 weeks' notice. Now, they have a new principal that came in. She came in from Atlanta, and she's been really, really hardcore. And she didn't want the teachers to teach black history. She didn't want them to talk about Kwanzaa. She didn't want them to teach anything because whatever she's adopted, and I'm trying to look this up, it's called Montgomery County Curriculum. And I said, well, what city, what state is Montgomery County in? Montgomery County is in Ohio. So I'm looking to find out what is the curriculum that she's adopted that will not allow African-American teachers to teach African-American studies to their children. So what has happened, three of the teachers gave their 2 weeks' notice. And instead of waiting for those 2 weeks, while the students were in the classroom with her, with the teachers, the principal walked in and gave the teachers their pink slip and then had them escorted off the campus in front of their students by police. Parents are in an outrage about this, in an uproar. I mean, they're like, this is not supposed to happen. My child is not supposed to see this. What is going on? You know, this was not right to do. And I understand that it wasn't right to do. The principal, you know, I don't know what her issue is. Is it a power issue or what? But this is something that could have waited, you know. She could have at least waited 2 weeks. I mean, they were going to give their 2 weeks notice. But for whatever blood crawled up in her, and this is a sister, okay? This is a sister. This is not anybody that don't look like us. But apparently, they don't think like us. She doesn't think like us. But, you know, my response to that is when I see parents in an uproar about what other people are doing to our children, whether they look like us or they don't look like us. It's what we want them to teach us. We want that school to teach our children about Black history. Now, Carter G. Woodson said, I'm going to read it again, Blacks are the only group of people who take their most precious possessions, their children, and ask their oppressors to educate them and to mold and shape their minds. Now, I could take that and look at it as a teacher that is actually in the classroom, but I'm looking at this more as an establishment. This principle is employed by the establishment, and whatever they have adopted, she's pushing that, okay? She's not fighting against it. She's pushing it. So you have your children in the school system that we're asking them to mold and shape, and they say, no, we're not going to mold and shape them like you want us to mold and shape them. We're going to mold and shape them like we wanted to mold and shape them. And as I was talking to you guys a couple of months ago about what the education is, what the whole educational system is, it is to get our children to think a certain way, to act a certain way, to prepare them for society so they can be molded and shaped to go down a certain path, to track our children. Now, if you don't want to see this happen, there's something that you have to do. If any of these parents in Chicago are listening to me who this has happened to in their students, I'm asking you to get together with those same parents that are out there looking at talking to the news people, to really, really, really think about banding yourself together, seeing what it is to do, what you need to do, okay? Seeing what it is, what is it that I need to do as a parent, as a group of parents? So if we want our children to learn about their history, we need to teach them. We cannot be so complacent thinking that somebody else is going to do it. It's not going to get done, not the way you want it to get done. Okay, not the way you want it. Like I was telling you guys earlier last year, that I about 2 years ago, 2013, I offered my services to the Hanford Elementary School District, the after school program, to teach, go to each school, after school program, 8 schools, and do a session on Black history. And they were all welcoming me. Oh, man, I got the dates. Go, come on in, come on in. Well, the following year, I wanted to charge because now I got to pay for gas. I got to load up my car. And if I have to bring somebody else with me, I got to pay them. So it wasn't a whole lot. And I know they have a budget, but they have a very small budget and whatever. I'm living in the town. Only 2 schools wanted to have me come in. The other 6 said, we don't want to pay for that. We loved it when she came, but we don't want to pay for it. And now this year, those same 2 schools wanted me to come in. So, you know, I'm not doing anything extra. If they want to pay, they can. Knowledge is power, and I'm not just giving you my stuff for free, you know. But parents, we need to, these children are not going to get it at my genius school, because the parents don't want to get up on a Saturday morning and bring them, I'm going to take it to their schools and share with them. That's basically what I did for the Martin Luther King Day celebration. I mean, you know, I had to have our students talking to them and letting them know, I want you to be a part of this. You have to be a part of this celebration. You have to be a part of the Black History programs that we're doing in this community. You have to be a part of the STEP team. Let's teach you the history of the STEP team, okay? Let's work this. I want you at my genius school so you can learn about your history, you can learn about your culture, learn about what it is that you need to do as a person so you could be a happy, productive adult. So basically, that's what I'm saying to these parents. You know, you were out there, we're upset because we want things to happen in our community, but it's not happening. But we have to step up to the plate and do it. We can't wait for anybody else to do. And if you don't know a whole lot about Black history, go online. There's so much stuff. There's so much stuff. One of the things that I want to talk to us about also, this is Black History Month. And a lot of cities and counties and communities are going to be working together to put together Black History programs. And like I said, I wish that our young people would get involved in these things as parents, getting your children involved, taking into these programs, sitting and talking about them. But this is a time that you could do something in your home once a month, once a week or every day you could do something with your children. And one thing that I suggest is go to the library and get some books, get some children's books, talk about our culture, talk about our people, learn about the Nat Turner Revolt. As adults, spouses, moms, grandmas, mothers, fathers, aunties, uncles, get the book that was put out by Dr. Carter G. Wilson, The Miseducation of the Negro. Get a group of you together and read that book. Build up a little group and, you know, we're going to come together. It's not a very, very big book, and it's out there, and you could probably order it on Amazon.com, or if you want to go to a local Black bookstore, you can get it from there. But I suggest that you get that book and form a little reading group so you guys could have that book and study it among yourselves. I think that would be a great thing to do. Okay. Another book that you might want to get, Souls of Black Folk by W.E.B. Du Bois. Okay. So you might want to get something like that. And there's, like I said, there's a lot of other books that you can get. And the history of the Rosa Parks has a biography out that you can get for her. And these are some of the things that you can get. Now, I know that we just celebrated Martin Luther King Day's birthday, but there's also a book out by it's Gandhi. And we know that Dr. Martin Luther King, he followed a lot of the teachings of Gandhi. So there's a book out by him. You can find that probably at an old bookstore, used bookstore, and it's called Gandhi, His Life and Messages for the World. So that's something that you might want to be able to get that book also and just kind of read and study and figure out what it is that you want to work with your children in your home, okay? How you want to work with them and how you want to teach them and what it is that you want them to be privy to, that what you want them to have knowledge of. Like I said, it's important that our children know their history. And it's not all that we're going to be able to get those that are in the establishment to teach them. We're not going to get them. Now, I have a book that I had ordered through, I think I got this through Amazon. It was called The Miseducation of the Negro. And then I found another copy at a sale, a library sale. And the copy that I have, this book is only, let me see, they have a large index, and they have a large appendix of this here, 126 pages. This book is only 126 pages, and the writing is not that small, so I like to look at books that have, as I wear glasses, I like to look at books that have, you know, my size print, so make it easy for me to read, because when I'm looking at books that are all yellow and got little tiny print, it makes it very difficult for me to even want to read them. So those are some of the things that you you might want to get. And like I said, there's another guy that has another book out. It's called How to Recover from the Addiction to White Supremacy, A Pan-African 12-Step Model for a Mental Health Peer Group by Dr. M. So this is another gentleman I met here in Fresno. He was at one of our Kwanzaas a couple of years ago, and very good gentleman. He's, wow, very on point. So there's a lot of things that you could do in the family. There's a lot of things that parents can do this month. You know, take them to your historical cultural museum, African-American museum. Find things to do in your community. Go online to whoever's running your newscast, your television station, and look at their community calendar. and find out what's happening, what's going on, especially if there's children's programs and stuff. Find out what's going on. And even in the neighboring cities, that's something that you might want to do. We have to bring our families together. You single moms, if you don't have a dad in the home and, you know, you don't have the transportation or the car, get with somebody. Get with another single mom. Get your children. Pack a lunch. Take a train ride to the next city. This month, Amtrak has, well, this is in California, I'm sorry. California has buy one ticket for the month of February, get another ticket half price. So I'm definitely going to be using that to go up to Sacramento over the weekend or whatever I'm doing. I got two events that I'm doing this weekend and next weekend I have the events. But after that, I have a couple of more weekends to do, two more weekends, and I'm gonna get some things done. I'm gonna go visit some places. I want to go up to San Francisco. I want to go to Oakland. I want to go to Sacramento and see what's going on in those cities up there. So, like I said, this is something that you might want to do. I want to share something, another thing with you that I am very, very excited about. Back in December, I went to a Kwanzaa event, and usually I usually celebrate Kwanzaa in my community, in the neighboring community, which is Fresno, but I decided that I wanted to go to Bakersfield because I heard that they had a nice event. And I went. And I tell you what, I was so impressed by the gentleman who put this event on. And, you know, it's just something about us Black people. We, you know, we'll show up with their food. We do show up their food. And we will send our children out to food. And it's kind of sad because, you know, that's what we do, but, you know, this is what's needed in the community because a lot of our children during this holidays and stuff, they may only get one meal a day. But I was impressed with the event that he put on. I was a vendor there. I was selling my shea butter, my black soap, my purses, my jewelry. So it was a very good event. I was the only selling vendor there. Hey, so I cleaned up somewhat. But the statues, the masks, the symbols, the posters that he had around this whole gymnasium was just awesome. I mean, it's like, and I don't use that word very often, awesome, but I'm telling you what, that's how it was. When I walked in, my mouth flew open like, oh, you know. So when I'm looking at something, when I say the word awesome, it's like, it's stunning. It was beautiful. And we need to find events like that we need to share with our children. Any kind of event that you can find in your community that represents you as a person, as a Black person, you need to be a part of that. Okay, there was a gentleman that was there, and he does rites of passages for different communities. And definitely my goal is to get him to do the rites of passage for my genius school here going into the summer months. This is something that I would love to see happen. Okay, another thing that I want to talk to you about that's in our news, we also know that there is a measles outbreak in our country. And I've been paying really close attention to this. And when I was young, I had the MMR shot. I had the measles and mumps shot. I looked at my shot record because I still had it. I'm not sure whether we had all three of them together. This was back in 1957. Yeah. But one thing that they said that if your child had the, if you had the shot back in the day, there's not a guarantee that you're still immune from the measles, because as your body changes, everything else changes, and it wears off. Question, we're told that we need to get these immunizations, that they'll protect us, but after a certain amount of time, they're not protecting us. That first shot may protect us, the second shot may give us more protection, but we have infants, your child cannot get these shots until they're at least a year old. This is something to think about. Is this something that we want to do? They have now where If you don't get your shot, you can't go back to school. Some states have it where if you have a letter from your doctor, you don't have to get the shots that make you exempt from getting the shots. You have to have a letter from your doctor saying that, you know, you don't need to get this. I think there's one state that says don't come back to school. If you don't have your shots, don't show up. We're not letting you in. And then I was just listening earlier that a school, a preschool, had a child in it that had the measles. And so that whole school is being tested and everything. But they said now they're coming up, but it takes a blood test to see how immune you are to this. So basically, that's what's going on with that. So there's a lot of things that are going on with us that we need to think about. There's a lot of us that don't want to get immunized. And I've always said that, you know, there are ways that you can get around that, but it's coming to the place right now where they're wanting you or don't go to school. Well, then there's homeschool, okay? If you really don't want your child to go to school and you really don't want your child to be immunized and, you know, you really don't, you know, you're fighting the school, you could fight it. You could fight the school to see if your child could go in there. But this is an opportunity for you actually to really homeschool your child. Okay. We're coming up on the last semester of school. The children came back to school in January. So they're into getting ready to prepare to take tests. We're already in February, March, April, May. We've got 3 more months to see where our children are. And I hope that during the winter months you were able to, or the winter break, that you were able to secure an appointment with the school's custodial records, the principal or assistant principal or the counselor at your school to view your child's cumulative folder. Not only the cumulative folder, but also their academic, their behavioral folder, okay, all of those folders. I'm hoping that you have an opportunity to secure those and to look at those and make your decision whether you want to review them, move stuff out of it, or keep things in there, or add letters to it, or refute whatever is being said, okay? This is going to be important. It's going to be important. You need to find out from your child what they're doing in school, how their day goes. Have your children talk to you, okay? So many times parents are coming and we're finding out that, oh, my child doesn't have all these assignments then, and you never knew that your children didn't have the assignments that they needed to have then because the schools are requiring the students to come home and share these things with you. And we know that our students sometimes don't come home and share that there's pages in their backpack from weeks and months ago that we've never seen. And I'm not acknowledging that the fact that we as black people, a lot of times we're not going to get that. We don't get the information. A lot of other parents will get that information because they know people who work at the school and say, girl, did you know that your son needed to do this? Well, yeah. Oh, wow, thank you. But we don't get that because we're not involved in the school like we should be if our children are still going to public school. We're not involved in those things. We're not involved in what's going on at the school district. My family, if you're going to have your child at the public school, you need to be involved in the site council meetings. Those are held at your school once a month, or you need to be involved and then from there go to the city the board meetings. You need to go to the school board meetings. You cannot jump the site council meetings and take your issues right to the school board meeting. You need to deal with it at the school level, okay? So basically, those are the things that I'm hoping that you had an opportunity to look at, okay? You need to basically be able to reach out to the teachers. Now, there's some things that I always say this to my families that listen to me. you are your child's first teacher. You know what it takes to motivate, educate, get that child to do what it is that they need to do. Once your child steps on that school campus, it becomes a guessing game for that teacher, because that teacher really doesn't know your child. You know your child. So what I'm asking is that parents become familiar with what your child needs. Don't leave it up to the school or that teacher to guess, spend a whole year guessing what it is going to take for your child to do what they need to do. And in the meantime, while they're guessing, they're flunking your child all the time because your child is not getting the proper information that they need. Engage with your children if your child is still in the public school. For the homeschool parent, keep doing what you're doing. Keep your school records. Keep records of what you're doing. Now, I'm not telling you to be like a public school and it's like you get up in the morning and you blow your whistle or whatever and they come running to the dining room table eating breakfast and then you come and say, okay, now we're going to get on the couch and we're going to do our little reading, whatever you're going to do. And then they start on their schoolwork. That's how I did it. I did it because I didn't know anything about unschooling or any of those terms. So I basically ran my private school, my home school, which was a private school in California, as a school. But then as I went along, I learned different things to do. And in the years, I've learned so much more. So basically, keep doing what you're doing. But one thing I do know, it is important that you keep a portfolio of what your child is learning. Keep it, if it's something that you want to teach your children, a little one-page summary. This is what we're teaching. These are the tools that we're going to be using, and this is the outcome. This is what we hope to accomplish. So you have your goals, and you have your ways that you're going to achieve the goals. This is what we're going to be doing, and this is what we hope to accomplish for that. Put it in a plastic sleeve, put it in a notebook with all your other lesson plans that you're going to be doing. Keep lesson plans because you don't know when somebody's going to come in, knock on your door and say, a truant officer say, oh, I can see that your children are not enrolled in school or they're truant. And you want to know that you did all your paperwork right. Yes, I turned my paperwork in because I'm going to tell you, sometimes the schools get lose things. And they said that they didn't get the information when you know that you got it. Always, always make a copy of what you get. And if you need to send it to the school district or whatever you need to do and you send it, you register with somebody, sign for it, a few extra dollars, do it. So you know that you're covered. And I'm just saying this for your own personal safety. You don't have to do that, but for your personal safety to save yourself a lot of headaches because time is too short, man. I know that I don't have that type of energy to kind of run down paperwork and figure out the days that I sent it in and did I really send it in and do I have a receipt and what did I teach on last week. And I don't have that type of energy, but I have more energy to get it on the front end. You want to put it out on the front end instead of on the back end. If you don't get a chance to teach that, at least you had it out there, okay? If you don't get a chance to go through the whole curriculum, you have it on the front end. You did some of it, and maybe you could pick it up at a later date. Okay, so that's what I'm telling you, parents who are homeschooling. If you're deciding that you want to homeschool, these are some of the things that you need to do. You need to go to Homeschool Legal Defense Association. It's a nonprofit organization. You'll go on that site, and you'll click on. They'll have you to sign in. Okay, I sign in, but you know. I sign in my state, and then I could pull up that state's information on what it takes for me to become a homeschool parent. And they'll give you all of the information that there's any statute that you have to do, whether a parent has to have a social degree, a bachelor's degree, or anything like that, the options that you have for homeschooling your children, whether your child could take classes at the regular public school, where they can participate in sports or music or whatever, art at the other school, what kind of tests your children have to be to test on, the standardized tests, whether you can go to the school and have those standardized tests done, whether there was any teacher's qualification, whether you need to have a bona fide tutor or a credentialed teacher teaching your child at home. So basically, those are some of the things that you need to do. And you'll go through the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, and you'll type them in, and you'll pull up that information and print that out for your own. And then you'll go to your Office of Education, Superintendent of Schools, Office of Education. You'll go to them and say, I need the form, or go online to your state, your California Office of Education, type in where it says the little word that you're searching for, homeschool, and all the information will come up, and you'll have the forms that you need to print. And they'll tell you when you need to get those forms in. So those are some of the things that you as a parent need to do. Also, I think I told you a few months ago that, I'll tell you this. When I first started, I was telling you that, you know, there's supplies that are available for you because now you're homeschooling and you're still a part of that school district. I'm telling you that if you can afford your pencils, papers, and markers, whatever, books, do not accept that Title I money. And the reason why I'm telling you not to accept that Title I money is because with that Title I money, now you have to report your income. And not so much as your income, it used to be able, and you could say, oh, I have these many students, we qualify for low income or free lunch. Now it's saying that if you qualify that, what is your source of income and can you prove that? So they want documents. So if you don't want to give them your documents, you want to be able to go on your own, you want to provide on your own. I do tell you that if you go up to the school district and they have the teacher's resource, they are giving away a lot of stuff. The library gives away a lot of stuff. Go online, go to Craigslist, see who's giving away books. At the end of the school year, teachers who are retiring are getting rid of all of their stuff. So you can find some teachers that you know that you can talk with and say that you have some students at home and you want to build up their library. Do they have any books that they're getting rid of? Take all that they have. And then when you get home, you can review what you have. Okay. There's one teacher in our community who gave to the city of Hanford, one of the schools gave the city of Hanford all these books, I mean Black History books like crazy, just about everybody. And so we would call them and go to the city and pick a lot of these books up, and I went through them, boxes and boxes of books. So I know that in the next few weeks I'm going to be going through my storage unit and going through all those books and see which ones I'm going to keep for the Genius School. So those are some of the things that you as parents who are thinking about homeschooling, and this is a show that you can call in, and if you have questions about what's going on in your state and what's going on in some of the issues that you're running up against as far as homeschooling, you need to think about that. One thing that I want to shout out to you, I was working for a foster care agency. I no longer work there anymore, but these are some of the things that I've seen, and I'm asking you, if you have it in your heart and you can do it, try to foster one of our children, our African-American children. I mean, if you can do it, you know, that would be great to do because right now they're being placed in whatever home that will accept them, Hispanic, white, you know, Asian, whatever. Well, that's when Asian people don't foster care. Their kids very rarely go into the foster care system because they try to take care of their own. But if you could foster our children, I want an African-American child, that would be so great to do, and to get them the things that they actually need. Okay. I have a caller on the line. Empress, you're on the line. What you got to say, honey?
Hey, sis, can you hear me?
I can hear you well. How you doing?
Okay. Hey, sis. Hey, enjoying the show. I want to get in about how are you doing? Let me quit being rude. How
I'm
you doing, Miss Paula?
I'm doing fine. I'm back.
Glad to hear you back, my sister. Glad to hear you back. I want to speak about the vaccinations that you're talking about, that you don't have to get your children vaccinated if you didn't want to, and I just wanted to call in on that because I just experienced that with my youngest son. As you know, I've been homeschooling him since he was in fourth grade, and he just decided he wanted to go to high school and try that life out. So mm-hmm. I kind of gave in, and he's 17 now, so I'm like, okay, well, you know, it is what it is. That's what he wanted to try. So anyway, I took him to the school and registered him, and they said that they wanted me to get his shot records. And I'm thinking, oh, man, he hasn't had shots in so long, so I know they're going to make him, like, catch up all these shots. So I came home and got to thinking about it, and I'm like, I wonder if I can get by with not, you know, making him take these shots. And so mm-hmm. I got online and started researching and things like that and found out, I'm in Arizona, so I found out that mm-hmm. you'll have to immunize your child here in Arizona. I don't know about other places, but I know here you don't have to. And so I was ready. I went the next day, and I was like, you know, I got the paper. I want to fill out for him not to have shots. And then she got the nurse for me, and the nurse came, and I signed a couple things. And they pretty much wanted me to understand that if any kind of break, you know, any kind of outbreak happens at the school, any kind of measles outbreak or anything serious like that, then my son is not allowed to come to the school until they get it under control. So I had to sign mm-hmm. a paper saying that I understood that. But other than that, it was fine. I signed the paper, and they asked me why. Was it personal? Was it religious? What is it? And I just told them it was personal, and they were fine with it. And I signed the paper, and he didn't have to have any shots. So I just wanted to tell
wow.
parents that who are, if they're, you know, wanting to do that, then there is something, you know, go online in your state and find out what the law is for immunizations. And most likely a lot of places you don't really have to give your child. And you know what, if you have to, even if you're not religious, if you have to lie and say it's for religious purpose, it don't make no difference. Lie and say it's for religious purposes, just as long as you can get in there without giving your child immunization. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's your religion. It's what you believe. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there
right,
like
exactly.
I think there's between 13 and 18 states, maybe 13 states that have that law where you don't have to get the immunization. So like you said, go online.
Mm-hmm.
You did your research. You went online. You don't have to do it. And you didn't even have to get a doctor's notice, huh?
No. Mm-mm. No,
great.
She called the nurse to the desk and asked me, you know, some questions and some things I had to sign off, like I said. And, you know, it was cool. You know, she gave my paper back, and it was all done. So he's been in school for about two and a half weeks now. So
wow,
it was
that's
no problem.
Great.
So,
that's
you know.
Great. How's he liking it? How's he liking it?
He likes it because, you know, he's an outgoing person, so he's just glad because everywhere he goes, he becomes popular. So it's like people just flock to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's enjoying the celebrity-ism of being in school because mm-hmm. it's like everybody's, oh, you know, we're glad you're here. So he's actually, you know, it's different for him because he likes to socialize. So it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually, he told me, to be honest with you, he just told me yesterday, he said, Mom, the school is so easy. He was like, it's so easy. And, Mom, you know, geometry is easy. And, you know, and he's like, man, this, you know, this is going to be a breeze. And I'm like, really? Okay. So I don't know. He said it's easier than what he was getting at home.
Wow. Isn't that something?
I don't know. Yeah, I actually had him on. He was at home, but I had him online. I had an online course that he was taking.
Mhm. And that worked for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did. I didn't even want him to go to high school, but like I said, he's 17, so I let him make his own decision. But for the most part of it, you know, he wasn't indoctrinated because he was home. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, from the very impressionable years, like I said, I took him out of school when he was in fourth grade, and now he's, you know, he's in high school. He's in high school now. So he's a junior.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah. Or is he a senior? He's one of them, girl. You know, when you homeschool, you don't really have, you don't really have levels. You just, you know, you just do it.
You don't.
But,
you really don't. You really don't, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to ask, I want to talk about that measles thing. I know it's time to go, but what do you think about that? I heard you mention it, I think, a little bit, but that measles, supposedly measles outbreak, do you think that's like a way to scare people into going to get their children immunized? What do you think about that?
Well, you know what? They show the pictures of the students, the children that have these measles and stuff, and the predominantly the people that I've seen are white, little white children. Little kids and stuff. And here in California, they said it started at the Disneyland park. So, you know what? It could be a way to get everybody to get their immunization because of the things that they came out with that it really doesn't protect us after a certain amount of time, that you have to have them done over again. And now they're telling people just to have them done to be safe. So, I mean, if you get this thing, you told me that it's going to immunize me, and now all of a sudden I'm not protected. What's the use of me getting more and more shots? President Obama, he said it should be a parental right, and man, they are blasting him for saying that. They are really coming down on him for saying that because he said it's a parental right, whether you want to have your child immunized or whatever. And man, that Arne Duncan, oh my God.
Why didn't I come to Bill Gates like that? Because Bill Gates, you know, he's got his hands all up in making sure that people get their children immunized, but his children are not. So they don't have anything to say about Bill Gates?
No.
Really?
They're not saying anything about Bill. Well, Bill Gates, you know, he's part of the eugenic society and all that other kind of stuff, so he's in there trying to get rid of a bunch of us black folks anyway. So, you know, once I found out about him, I'm like, what? I'm like, whatever. And so, you know, it may be a way. It may be a way just to get us immunized. But I like how the school district said, if there's an outbreak, keep them home. Okay? You don't have to go through all that drama. We don't have time. I don't have any small kids at home, but if I had small kids at home, I don't think I would want to take them to put them all through all that, those shots and stuff again. But they did say that there is a blood test that you could take to see whether you actually whether you actually are protected. One thing about the shots and stuff that you're getting, and even taking blood, I did notice this because I'm diabetic and I do insulin. Hopefully for not too much longer. And they gave me these syringes, and I noticed that there's a little space at the end of the syringe. There's like a little space where the plunger don't go all the way down to the end. And so what you actually do is open, take your needle, pull it all the way up to whatever the number is that you have to take, push it down into the insulin bottle, and then draw the insulin out. And I'm wondering, what's in that little bit of air space that I can't see?
Yes.
So push it into the... So I just push the insulin.
Yeah.
I just push that joker out before I even put it in the bottle because it's not going in the bottle, whatever is there. I'm serious.
Wow.
I'm serious. When I noticed that, I'm like, wait a minute. What is that? Why is that not going all the way down? That don't make sense. So we need to be careful. We really do need to be careful. I don't push nothing to pass anybody. I mean, I just heard a boom a little bit before the show outside my door, and then I heard all these birds just chirping. I look out my window, there's a dead bird right by my doorstep. I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, it fell out the sky? Wow.
I don't even know, but they better come get that dead bird out. I went looking around like anything blew up in the house. So I just moved to this new place, and I'm like, what in the heck is that? Are these people trying to send me a sign in this town? You wind up like that bird or what? So I'm excited. I'm happy here. This place so big, girl. I lost my eyeglasses in this place and still haven't found them.
that could be good or bad. That could be good or bad.
I had to go get some new glasses. I'm glad I found my old ones. But I'm happy. I'm happy here. And I'm happy to be back on the show. I'm glad for all of the listening audience and being able to share with you what's going on and what's happening. And I just want to tell the parents, just find something to do with your children for this month. every day, once a week, you know, whatever you can do, do something with your children that pertains to who they are as black people and educate your children. Don't wait for your teachers, whether they're black, blue, purple, orange, or green, to educate your children about their culture. You as a parent, you are that child's first teacher, and it is your responsibility to teach your children. And if you don't know something, go online. There's so much stuff that you could do. Go pick up a YouTube video. Listen to Dr. John Henry Clark. Listen to a lot of people online. You'll get some good information.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
All right.
Thank you, my sister.
Thank you, and I'm going to sign off right now. And y'all have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and I'll see you on next Tuesday.
Dynasty Radio, 1382.